Look in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. You know, when you boil that all down, you just think people need the Lord. That's what they need. They need the Lord. I mean, we are totally and completely lost. You look out at society and all the problems and things that people are going through, and what they need is they just need the Lord. Proverbs chapter 27, and we'll look at verse number 17. Solomon, writing to his son, he said, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So he said, Solomon says, just the way that you would rub two pieces of iron together and sharpen it, that's the same way two friends get together and they sharpen each other. Amen. And it comes out in their face. Yeah. There's joy there, there's happiness, and you put a smile on their face. But I want to preach to you tonight on iron sharpening iron, and are you sharpening the countenance or making others sharp for the Lord and for their life in general? That's what I want to speak to you about tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for these precious young folks that have come forward and given testimonies. We're thankful for those who have taken them and the way that the Lord worked. We're thankful for these things. Lord, you're a good and a gracious Heavenly Father to us. Lord, we don't even realize how good that you are to us. Thank you, Father, for being gracious to us and kind, and Lord, all of these things, Lord. I pray that you'd help us this evening. I pray that you would help us to glean something from the Scriptures tonight, and that you would work on us and speak to us tonight. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. This last summer, I learned a little something about sharpening a blade. I thought I knew how to sharpen a blade, but I guess I don't, so you can all laugh at me if you want to. It's okay. But I do all of the lawn care over there at Heartland, and we have a riding lawnmower. And they bought that thing back in about 2000. Well, they did buy it in 2014. It was a brand new lawnmower, so I used it for 2 years. And then the blade started getting dull. I'd be mowing the lawn, and all of a sudden I'd see little sprigs of grass coming up, and just wasn't mowing like it used to. So I thought, well, surely I've got to sharpen the blade on that sucker. So I got underneath there, and I took the blade off, and I sharpened it. Actually, it's got two blades, so I sharpened it as good as I could. We had a bench grinder in the back, and I sharpened it as best I could, and I put both of those blades back on there and went out and mowed, and I thought, well, it's doing pretty good. But then I kept on seeing blades of grass popping up, and I thought, what in the world? I sharpened this thing. What is going on here? So I used it for a while, and I had to keep on going back and forth over places I'd already mowed because there's grass sticking up, and they don't want me to leave grass sticking up, so I had to keep mowing it. And I sharpened it again after about 2 months. So I did that twice last year, sharpened it the best I knew how, took the bench grinder, sharpened it all down, and that still didn't do any good. It's still doing the same thing. So this year, I tried it again. I thought, well, I'm going to sharpen those blades again. I got underneath the lawnmower, took the blades off, sharpened the blades, didn't do any good. You know what I had to do? I had to get on the internet and find out, what am I doing wrong? Because I know you can sharpen lawnmower blades. I know you can do it. So I got on the internet, looked up a YouTube video on how to sharpen lawnmower blades, because I had never sharpened one before. So come to find out, this is what I was doing wrong. As I was sharpening the blade, I was cutting down on the blade like this, straight down. That's what I was doing. And the way you're supposed to do it, you're supposed to sharpen up like this. It'll put an edge on it. It'll grind off all the old stuff and put an edge on it. And so after I did that, well, it worked pretty good. It worked pretty good because I started doing it right. I started sharpening that blade the way that it ought to. One little move, flipping the blade over, and it made it work all better. You know what? You got people in your life. You have friends. You have family members. You have people that you're going to be an influence on, and you want to make them sharp for the Lord. You want to make them sharp for life. You want to influence them in a good way. So whenever they go through their life, you had a part in influencing them in the right way. But a lot of times we can do things wrong to people and we can make them dull for the Lord. We can do things to them, little things that we shouldn't be doing to them that we think might be helping them, but actually we're not helping them. We're actually hurting them and we're actually making them dull for the Lord. We're making them to where they're not going to be much good. They're not going to be very useful because, you know, I went out there and mowed the lawn with a dull blade, and guess what? That wasn't very useful because I got real frustrated. I kept looking back there and there's grass sticking up. And so I had to back up and then go over it again. A dull lawnmower blade is not useful. It is no good, none whatsoever. You must have a sharp blade if you want to make a good cut on a lawnmower out there on your lawn, make it look good. So Solomon said the same way that a friend will sharpen the countenance of his other friend. That's why two friends get together and they sharpen one another and they're useful out there in the world and they're useful for the Lord. So that's what Solomon is telling him there. Solomon said again in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 in verse number 10 using the same principle. He said, if the iron be blunt, he said, if the iron is not sharp, it's blunt, and he do not whet the edge, if he does not sharpen the edge, then he must put to more strength, he says. You'll have to use more strength. You get out an axe, and the edge of that thing is blunt, and it's not sharp, and you start trying to chop down a tree, you're going to be sitting there and chopping and chopping and chopping and chopping and chopping. Actually, he won't be doing any chopping. He'll just be hitting and hitting and hitting. There won't be any chopping going on there. He said, you better sharpen that edge so you don't have to do as much work. That's what we must do. We must make ourselves sharp for the Lord. He says, but at the end of that verse, but wisdom is profitable to direct. So he says, you need some wisdom to navigate this life and be useful in this life. You know, I heard a quotation from John Wayne one time. He says, life is hard, but it's even harder if you're stupid. You get out there and you try and live life and you don't know what you're doing or what's going on. That sounds like me about age 17. I thought I knew what was going on, but I really didn't. And life is hard, it's even harder if you're stupid. But if the axe is dull, it's going to take you a lot more work. It's a lot better if you can get some wisdom in this life and live this life and navigate through this life instead of making a bunch of mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes instead of learning from your own mistakes. That's a lot better. So when we get together, when friends get together, when brothers and sisters get together, we ought to be sharpening one another. You know, we ought to be helping one another when we get together, making each other sharp for the Lord. That's what it's all about. Well, you can learn from my mistakes, and I can learn from your mistakes, and I can avoid what you did, and you can avoid what I did. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Making one another sharp for the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice with those that do rejoice, and weep with those that weep. Get together and sharpen one another for the Lord. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. So a Spirit-filled Christian will produce joy in another Christian. That's what will happen. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Are you bringing joy to another person's life here this evening? You got friends, and do you put a smile on their face? Are they joyful after they get done with you? Or are they like, man, this guy just unloaded all his problems on me, and now I'm all depressed? I sure hope not. Of course, you know, when friends get together, you come and you bring troubles and trials to each other. I understand all that. Bear you one another's burdens. I understand all those things. But are you putting a smile? Are you making their countenance more sharp? Are you sharpening their life? Are you sharpening their walk with God? After they've had some interaction with you, are they better or are they worse? How is it? We got to be sharpening one another as friends. Friends come together and they sharpen one another. How are we going to sharpen each other? Well, there's three things. Three ways in which we can sharpen one another. The first way is intentionally, by intention. Did you know you can't go out and sharpen an axe or a blade or anything like that without intention? You got to have some purpose. You got to do it on purpose. On purpose. Intentionally, There must be interaction, and then there must be influence, all three of those things. So the first thing we want to look at is intention. You're not going to sharpen anything accidentally. My granddad used to be a peanut farmer over there on this side of Portales, and I used to go and hoe with him occasionally, and that guy was a world-class hoer, I guess you would say. If you don't know what a hoe is, it's got a long handle on it with a crooked end on the end of it, and you hoe weeds with it. You go walk up and down the rows, and you'd hoe weeds with it. Get all the weeds out. He used to be a peanut farmer, so he'd get all the weeds out of the peanut plants, and I'd go hoe with him. Well, I used to watch my granddad sharpen this hoe, and he'd go inside of his shop, and did you know that hoe would not sharpen itself? It would not. My granddad had a plan and a purpose for that hoe. He had a way that he would take it, and he would put it in the vise, put it down in there. He would clamp that thing down real tight. Then he'd get him a file, and he'd file the edge off of that thing. And you know, I should have remembered that whenever I was sharpening that lawnmower blade, but I didn't remember that. But that's what Granddad used to do. He had a plan, and he was intentional whenever he sharpened that hoe blade. He'd do the first side, then he'd do the second side. He'd go out there, and I used to remember my granddad's hoes, they wore down about that far because he had sharpened them so much and used them for so long. He'd sharpened them that small. So Granddad had a plan. He had a design for the way that he wanted to sharpen that thing. You know, if you're going to sharpen someone, you're going to sharpen your friend, you're going to sharpen your brother or sister in Christ, you have to have a plan. There has to be a design for that thing. Because people do not get sharpened accidentally. Doesn't happen accidentally. You must do it on purpose. You must have a plan and a design. The Bible tells us, let your speech be always with grace. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You must have a plan. You must have a purpose. You must be thinking, hey, how can I sharpen my friend today? How can I help my friend today? How can I help my family member? Do I have a plan? Do I have a purpose for that thing? You know, the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian I believe who ever lived, had a plan and had a purpose for the church at Rome, and he told them about it in the first chapter of the book of Romans. And he said, I want to sharpen you. I want to establish you in the faith, and I've got a plan to do it. It's not going to be accidentally. Amen. I'm going to do it on purpose. First thing he says is, I pray for you all the time. All the time I pray for you. Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? I tell you what, that will sharpen them for the Lord. That will help them in their walk with God. That will help them in their life. And that was Paul's main concern. One of his main concerns. He says, I pray for you continually. He said, not only that, this is my next step to my plan. The next step to my plan is I'm going to go and I'm going to visit you. I'm going to come and have some interaction with you, and I'm going to visit you. You can't sharpen a brother or sister in Christ unless you spend some time with them. Unless you come together and spend some time. Now, that's my second point. I don't want to get onto that yet. But he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you. I'm not only going to pray for you, I'm going to come and see you. And I want to sharpen you. I want to establish you in the faith. Next thing he said I'm going to do is I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to give you the gospel. I don't want you to be floating around out there being carried away by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to establish you in the faith by preaching to you. So he had a plan. Each and every one of us must have a plan, must be intentional about sharpening a brother or a sister in Christ. Because it's not going to happen accidentally. It must be purposeful. It must be intentional. So Paul had a plan in those things. He considered himself a debtor as well. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the Gentiles, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I want to establish you. I want to sharpen you. So he had a plan. Do you have a plan here this evening for a brother or sister in Christ? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That was his plan or his intention, because he said, for I long to see you. I want to see you, to the end that you may be established, to be sharpened for the Lord, to be useful for the Lord. I want you to be useful as well. Each and every one of us, I want you to be useful for God. I want to be useful for God. And each and every one of you has something that you can give me that would be useful in my life to serve the Lord. So we must be intentional. Intentional. You know what you must be intentional with is your words. You better be intentional with your words. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man." Amen. Be ready. That means you got a purpose. That means that you are intentional. Hey, I am a Christian, and I'm going to tell others, and I know what I need to tell them because I have a hope. Do you have a hope here this evening of Christ Jesus? Are you ready to tell others about that? Are you ready to sharpen others for the Lord? Are you intentional? You must be intentional. You know what else you need to do? You need to be intentional with your children as well. Amen. You want to sharpen them for the Lord? You got to be intentional because kids may grow up right without you or without you, I guess you could say accidentally, but most of the time they're not going to. You have to guide them and lead them in the right way. You better be intentional with your children. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6 for just a moment. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at verse number 6. Now Moses is commanding the children of Israel here to be intentional with their children and to teach them and to guide them in the right way. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 6. Actually, we started verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It must be in your heart, not just in your head, in your heart, because I want to obey those words. I want to obey them. Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them occasionally to thy children." No. Diligently. Diligently. Intentionally teach the word of God to your children. "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He said, whenever you're walking down the street, whenever you're laying down to go to bed, whenever you're walking by the way, each and every time you teach the word of God to your children, you must be intentional with your words to your children if you want to sharpen them for the Lord, because it's not going to happen accidentally. Not going to happen accidentally. "And thou shalt bind them," verse 8, "for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." So you must be intentional with your words to fellow believers as well. Your children, you must be intentional with those things and have a purpose and lead and guide them in the right way. Be intentional with fellow believers. Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." That means you provoke them. Be an influence on them. Provoke them to good works and to love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We come together and we sharpen one another. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that the day approaching." He said, man, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. You know what you need to do? You need to exhort your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to encourage them. You need to pray with them. You need to do all of these things because Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I tell you what, I don't want Jesus Christ to come back soon and be left empty-handed or be found empty-handed or doing something I shouldn't be doing. We should comfort and pray and influence others with our words. That's why we come together, is to sharpen one another, encourage one another, and exhort one another. That's why you shouldn't miss church. That's why you ought to be here with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's encourage one another to faithfulness, to good works, to love, and be intentional about it because you're not going to do it accidentally. You got to have some intention to it. Next thing you need to do is you must have interaction. If you're going to sharpen somebody for the Lord, you got to have some interaction. I mean, you got You got a blade over here and you got a file over here. Those things got to get together somehow. Because if they don't, nobody's getting sharp. That's why we come together and come to church. And so we can sharpen one another. There must be interaction between those two things. What kind of interaction should we have? Of course, fellowship. Man, we come together and we have a good time and we have fellowship. Isn't it great to come together with believers who believe the same thing and love the Bible and love the Word of God? Hey, man, that ought to be your favorite part of the week. Sunday. Man, it's Sunday. I get to go see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to sing songs and hymns with them. I get to hear some preaching. I get to hear all these things. Man, we're going to have some fellowship. Man, that's interaction. You ought to feel better when you leave church because, man, I just saw the people that I love. And one of these days, you know what? We're going to get to spend eternity together. On Jordan's stormy banks, I stand, you'll be there. You ought to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Interact, man, have some fellowship. Always have fellowship. Come together. You know what else that might happen when two friends get together? You might have a little bit of friction. A little bit of friction. You know what happens when you start filing on that old hole or that blade or whatever it is? You got a little bit of friction going on there. You're not going to get sharp without some friction. I hate to tell you that. You know, you can't sharpen a blade with a loaf of bread. Just not going to work. You got to have a file. You got to have some friction. You know, friction happens sometimes. If you've been married for any amount of time, you know that there's friction in that relationship, isn't there? You know what happens? Hey, that's good. Friction is good unless it gets out of control, but friction's healthy. It's good. Your wife and your husband get together, I tell you what, my wife has strengths that I don't have, and I have strengths she doesn't have. So we get together, and sometimes there's friction, and she says, hey, man, you need to watch your step there. You're doing this wrong or that wrong. She kind of points those things out I'm doing wrong, and she's right. She's right. So I need to stop doing that. So she's kind of like a mirror to me. And she's letting me know what's going on. There's friction there. Sometimes friends get together and there's friction in there. Things that happen. Knock the burrs off, knock the edges off. You know, when you file something, you lose something on that blade when you're filing it off. A lot of times we need to lose things. We need to lose some pride. We need to lose some whatever it is, whatever kind of sin it is. You know, that's what friends are for. You know, in that same chapter we're reading, in Proverbs chapter number 27, let me read it for you. I can almost quote it for you, but let me read it for you. Let's see here. Proverbs 27, verse number 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Did you know if you have a good friend, and he or she is a true friend, they're going to tell you what you're doing wrong, and it might hurt you. It might wound you a little bit, but that's healthy, and that's friction. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's how Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, was with a kiss. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's going to be some friction there whenever you get together. I tell you what, Paul and Peter had it out one time, two apostles who were friends. Peter was not walking up rightly according to the truth of the gospel. He was acting like a hypocrite, and Peter withstood him to his face. He got right up in his face, and he said, hey, man, you're not walking right. You're walking hypocritically. You need to stop that. He said Peter was eating with the Gentiles, and all of a sudden he was eating with the Gentiles. Well, I guess I'd tell you the whole story, but I guess I won't tell you the whole story. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. Anyways, Peter was acting like a hypocrite, and Paul withstood him to the face. And he said, you better cut that out and you better knock it off. A true friend will always tell you what you're doing wrong. And that's what happens when friction happens. Start knocking those edges off. Smoothing things up and making you sharp. You got a friend that does that? That's what preaching's for. Preaching says reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We need to know what's wrong so we can cut it out and be sharp for the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ had no problem confronting his disciples. One time, he went up to Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Tell you what, friction there. There's friction. You got some true friends here this evening? Let's be true friends to one another. Let's get together and let's sharpen one another. Now, there's going to be fellowship, and there's going to be some friction as well. But let's be sharp for the Lord. You know, that's what the Bible will do. The Bible will sharpen you. If you obey it, you listen to it, you obey it, the Bible will sharpen you. What does it say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why we need to read the Word of God and listen to it. Divine help from the pages of Scripture right there. So there must be fellowship and friction if there's going to be interaction, if you're going to be sharp for the Lord, if you're going to be sharp in your life. Now that's going to take some courage and some honesty if you're going to tell somebody what they're doing wrong. It might take a little bit of thick skin for you as well. Some thick skin. The psalmist said in Psalms, he said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. So there must be some intention, there must be some interaction, and then the ultimate thing that you want from your life, you want your life to influence others. If you don't influence somebody in the right way, if I don't influence somebody in the right way, well then, you know, I failed in my life if I haven't influenced somebody in the right way. There must be some influence there. Now you can influence somebody in the wrong way or you can influence them in the right way, just like you can sharpen something in the wrong way or the right way, one or the other. You take that blade and you start scraping it across metal, you're going to dull it, is what you're going to do. Or tell you what, you start sharpening that thing and you give up on it too soon, you're not going to get an edge on it. And you're not going to have any kind of influence on somebody if you give up too soon. You must sharpen one another. So what kind of mark are you going to leave on somebody else's life, on your friend's life, on your family's life, on your children's life? Because when two pieces of metal get together, there's going to be a mark there. You can't get around it. There will be a mark there. Every person that you come in contact with, you're going to leave an influence. There will be an influence in their life. So what kind of mark are you going to leave? How will we influence others? Paul wanted some wisdom as to how to influence others. He said, "I want an open door to go out and to preach the gospel, but I want you to pray for me that I'll preach it right and that I'll say it right." He said in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, he said these words, "With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest." I want to tell others. I want to be an influence on others. "As I ought to speak." How should we say it to others? How are we going to interact with others? How are you going to interact with your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you going to be a good influence on them? He said, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So we're not going to be able to sharpen one another unless there's some contact there. Unless there's some intentionality there. We're not going to be able to. You know what? You cannot influence someone through indifference. I'm indifferent. You cannot influence somebody through independence. You cannot influence somebody by being incognito, not interacting with others. So do you sharpen the ones that you're around? Are you allowing them to sharpen you as well? Because when the two get together, there ought to be some sharpening going on. Sharpening. How is it this evening? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,